everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Louisa Clark. How are you today?
Really well, thank you.
It's great to have you here on the podcast. And of course, for our listeners, this is the second podcast in our series with the Caffeine Partnership. And I'm very happy to have you here today in the studio. It's an absolute pleasure. And of course, for those listening, Louisa has over 21 years communications experience within business and brand experience, working with high performance teams for some of the world's best companies and leaders. And we're talking today a lot on the topic of first impressions, on impact, how to make that great first step, and of course how to maintain this high morale that comes with a good first impression. So making a great first impression is often at the core of forming a successful business relationship with clients and within teams alike. What are the general behaviors which generate this impression, and how can we begin facilitating them?
I think often in business and in life, we can be a bit unconscious of how we come across. We kind of rush from one thing to another, and we don't really think about how we come across at first impression. And there's a lot of research that says that people make their mind up about people in seconds. So you don't have a huge amount of time to make a first impression positive. So it's all the things that we talked about, you know, when you were a child, your parents used to say, look people in the eye, speak clearly, smile, you know, show a bit of humanity, and basic things of manners like don't be late, don't, you know, be prepared, all those kind of things. So it's only simple things, but I think it's just, you know, being friendly, being open, and wanting, you know, making the other person feel welcome is a great start for a good first impression.
That's some fascinating insight there. And one part that really sort of sticks out for me and always has been is the idea of actually playing to our strengths. And as you say, it's always great to make kind of the initial, you know, make the eye contact, smile, you know, stand up straight with your shoulders and everything on that end. But we all have our individual strengths, and we all have our individual impact that comes with it. How can we play to them? How we can identify how they can come in handy when we make this first impression?
Well, there's a very interesting thing that psychologists talk about, which is called illusory superiority. And it means that often we think we're better at some things than we are, and we underplay our weaknesses. So, for example, I might think that I'm a really good driver, and it's just that everyone else on the road is terrible. And so getting unvarnished feedback from other people about how you really come across is really important, because if a number of people are saying the same thing about you, like you don't listen, you interrupt, you're always late, at some point you have to recognise that probably is
right. There's got to be something there,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's about knowing your strengths and weaknesses and making a conscious choice to do something about them. I think it's also about, you know, I think the hardest thing is to be yourself, but it's actually really important. And often in business, we feel that we have to put on this professional facade. And obviously, you have to do your job really well, and you have to have integrity and all those good things. But I think you're allowed to be a human. You're allowed to be humorous. You're allowed, if you're a funny person, you're allowed to be yourself. And sometimes we put on a big sort of shield, and just allowing your real personality to come through, because it's really difficult to keep up not being yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually following on that, there is this, I guess, a phenomenon, especially within middle management at the moment, and people call it the imposter syndrome. And I think it might have something to do with what you've said, because people have this very sort of set high expectations that they perhaps put on themselves. And in the long run, they can lose what actually makes them an individual and just try and comply. And that can only go downhill, the way I see it.
Yeah, I think sometimes we have a little voice in our head which doesn't do us any favours. It can be the voice in our head saying, oh, you're really rubbish at that. Someone's going to catch you out doing that. Why are you here? And other times we can be, you know, we can have too much confidence about something that we may not be as good as we think we are. But usually it's the negative voice that overrides the positive. So, yeah, the imposter syndrome is real. And, you know, we work with leaders at the top of the organisations, and they have moments of that themselves. I think that's something that happens to everyone. So it's not about being arrogant about what you do, but having some self-confidence about you're in your role, you have a certain amount of expertise, you should feel confident that you've got interesting things to say that people want to listen to.
Yeah, and building on from that, what do you think are the common pitfalls we make when we try to make that first impression or perhaps make a positive impact, whether it is in a big project meeting or just interacting within everyday life within a team? Is there something that really sticks out for you?
I mean, I think you can make, you know, you can make a memorable impression for the wrong reasons. I had a terrible new business meeting where someone actually, I don't know how it happened, but they managed to put their foot into a waste paper basket. And obviously, you know, that was memorable, but not necessarily for the right reasons. They got completely stuck in this basket. Other times, you know, the technology will go wrong and, you know, you can get very flustered and het up by those kind of things. But I think it's about how you deal with the situation. And, you know, we're not robots, we're all human and things will go wrong. It's how you react to them. So pitfalls, I think that, you know, it's all about being prepared. And as again, I think we are in a very, you know, the pace of work and life at the moment is so rapid. We're rushing from one meeting to another. We don't really have time to think. But I think just taking 5 minutes ahead of any meeting or any new business opportunity or any new client opportunity and thinking, what do I want to get out of this meeting? What questions do I need to ask? Who's sitting across the table from me? What do I know about them? What kind of information would they want to hear from me? And then make sure that you are doing a lot of listening and asking questions and getting them to tell you as much as possible so you can get the information you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something you said there which I find actually very fascinating, and that's this idea of being caught up in the moment, of simply, you know, going from one meeting to another, from, you know, one task to another task. And personally in my life, I recently moved out the big city. And it's actually very interesting what you can do when you have some space and time around you and you make a purposeful effort to just take the 5-10 minutes and just reflect on what you're about to do. What are you trying to get out of a certain situation? And then go into that challenge with a very clear head. And I think we often forget to do that simply because, you know, we get stuck in the cycle of I have to do X, I have to do Y, I have to do Z, and this is how it works. And I think we can in a way become victim of our own productivity, which is a very strange thing.
I think there's a phrase, busy fools, and yes. I think sometimes we are in danger of being busy fools. And it's like a badge of honour about, oh, I'm really busy, I'm swamped, you know.
So much to do.
Yes, exactly. You know, I can't focus on anything. And actually, I think it's a real skill to be able to do, as you say, to just go, okay, hang on a minute. It's important to find some time to think. And, you know, no one is that busy. I don't think that you can not find that time. It's all just about prioritization.
Yeah, of course. And you know, we're on that morning commute for a good amount of time. Maybe we can instead of looking at our email, see what we can do to just turn off for a bit and reflect. But going forward, there is this concept of being on that you talk about, and it's a very fascinating one. So can you perhaps tell us a bit about the methodology behind it? And how do we start building on it as well?
Well, we do a lot of work helping companies pitch for more new business. And we talk about being on as the having your radar on. You know, at the airport, you have radar to stop planes flying into each other because it's picking up signals. And often in business, we're in transmit mode. We're all busy thinking about what we want to say, what we want to get across. And we miss the signals that we can pick up from other people. So being on is about being intentional. It's about thinking, as I've said before, about how do you want to come across, knowing that particularly in a new business environment, you are being judged. Every single interaction between the first time you meet that client prospect to the pitch and beyond, you are being judged, rightly or wrongly, but they're making an impression of you. And it's important to be clear about what that impression you want to be. So it's all being on all the time is exhausting. No one can do it. As you said, you know, you need some downtime. But in pitching in particular, it's about having your radar on to why is the client saying that? What does it mean? How can we minimize the chances of getting things wrong, which is what we want to do, and eliminate the chances of us making a mistake?
Right, absolutely. And as we're building on to on the concept of being on, can you perhaps give our audience free tips on how they can implement this and how they can perhaps start doing it today when they get in the office, if they're listening to this on the way to work, or perhaps if they're already in the office, maybe they can start today or tomorrow.
All right. Well, tip one, get some feedback. Ask someone to give you some unvarnished feedback about what your strengths are, what you're good at, and how you come across, and what you think could be improved. So if you know that you're actually not a great listener, you always interrupt, that could be something to work on. Or if one of your strengths is that you are really good at putting people at ease quickly and building rapport with clients quickly, you know, again, that's something to work on. So get some unvarnished feedback, tip one. Two, prepare. Because being on is about preparation. It's about thinking, you know, thinking from the other client's point of view. What do they want? What would they want to hear from you? And what do you want to get out of any meeting, pitch, or, you know, new encounter with a prospect? And the third one would be rehearse. Now, I don't mean to go on stage or, you know, do a full on rehearsal, but just think about, particularly if you're doing an opening of a presentation or even the first thing you're going to say in a meeting, what are you going to say? How are you going to open the meeting? Because you'll begin to set the tone for that whole meeting. So whether you want to be upbeat or whether it's a warning or whether it's going to be to reassure them, being really clear on what your purpose is and rehearse your first line will just help you have more confidence and get a better result.
Great, some great insight there for our listeners to start building on. And before I go on to the next question, actually, there's something I was thinking about as we were talking, and it goes into the idea of different industries. Do you perhaps, in your opinion, have seen one particular industry like tech or perhaps, you know, the finance sector, which tends to, when it comes to being on, they're kind of on all the time, because mm-hmm. my background, for example, is in tech, and it really resonated with me when you said, well, you can't be on all the time. But in some places, people really do think that. Do you perhaps think it's a reflection of the industry itself, or is it more of a work culture issue, or perhaps a mix of the two?
I think sometimes it is the culture that no one's allowed to be seen to be thinking.
Yes.
And because thinking gives the impression that you're doing nothing. And also there's a culture of we always have to be at our desk, which I don't think is helpful as well. And actually you can do some really good thinking and some really good work by walking around and being stimulated by other, you know, experiences. And actually it's probably better to get out of the office, but there's often a presenteeism of being physically present within the office, which again, I don't think serves people well.
Yeah, and actually I can support this idea of walking around while you're thinking. If you've never had a walking meeting, maybe we're just another person, not a whole group of maybe five or six people, that might be a bit difficult, but just go out and have a walk while you're talking. You'd be absolutely amazed to find out what the results can be. Mm. That's one tip that you guys can try on if exactly. You're listening. And the last question I want to ask you, Louisa, is the one I ask anyone that actually comes on the podcast, and that's, what are you currently reading, and do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
Does it have to be a business book, or can it be anything?
No, it can be anything that you're into at the moment.
Oh, good. Well, I'm a massive reader. I read probably about 10 or 12 books a month. I read a lot. The one I'm reading at the moment is Alan Hollinghurst, The Sharp-Schult Affair. And I really do recommend that. In fact, I nearly missed my stop on the tube because I was reading that.
Okay, great, fantastic. And of course, we'll have a link in the description below. So if you guys want to go and check out that book, you can. With that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much, Marlon.
And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation today and you would like to get in touch with us and find out more, of course, about the Caffeine Partnership and Louisa and her work, please check out the description below, and you can visit thisiscaffeine.com for all related links and information. Reach out on social media. We'd love to hear your feedback. And as always, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on this week's episode. And we look forward to seeing you next week.